Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow disciples of Jesus, let me tell you of three different people in Scripture that had no peace. The first man is the very first man that ever lived, Adam. When he fell into sin, he feared God. Out of fear, he tried to hide himself before God, and when God confronted him, Adam admitted that it was out of fear of God, afraid of what God was going to do to him because of his sin. The second person is Moses. When God called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, Moses had his doubts. He did not believe that the Lord could use him. And therefore, he came up with every excuse possible for God to send someone else. The third person is Mary Magdalene. Then on that first Easter Sunday, all her hope was gone. For the tomb was empty, Jesus' body was gone, and it seemed like her Lord and her Savior was dead and gone. And these fears, these doubts, these despairs are not uncommon to God's disciples. We go through them as well when we don't have peace in our lives. We see the disciples going through that as well in this account. But the risen Lord brings peace. And he first brings peace to his disciples' fear. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When it mentions that this happened on the evening of the first week, it's referring to that very first Easter Sunday. The disciples have heard reports from the women that the tomb was empty and that they had seen Jesus. But the disciples still had fear. Out of fear, they were hiding behind locked doors, fearing what the Jews might do to them, how they might put them to death. And then suddenly, Jesus came and appeared before them. Now think of the fear the disciples might have had when they saw Jesus. The last time most disciples saw Jesus, they had promised that they would lay down their lives for him. But when Jesus was arrested, they ran away in fear. The last time Peter saw Jesus, it was right after he denied knowing him three times. And then when Peter looked, he saw Jesus looking back at him. And Peter broke down into tears because he remembered how he promised that he would never deny knowing Jesus. And yet he did. For the past 3 years, disciples have followed Jesus. They have seen his miracles. They have heard his message. They have seen how Jesus has changed the lives of others. And yet here they are, weak, timid, and afraid. Nothing has changed about them. And so now Jesus appears before them, and what is he going to say to them? Is he going to say, "How dare you for deserting me and leaving me to die? How dare you deny me before others? How dare you still be timid, weak, and afraid? Therefore, I no longer love you. I deny knowing you. I want nothing to do with you." That's not what Jesus said to them. His very first words to them were, "Peace be with you." Jesus could declare peace to his disciples because he died and rose to life to forgive them of their sins. The risen Lord brought peace to his disciples who had fear. And what do you fear before God? just like the disciples who made a promise to never leave Jesus, and they did. Maybe you have made promises to God that you haven't kept. Promise that, Lord, I'm going to show my love for you by obeying your commands, because that's what I was told here from the letter from 1 John. To love God is to obey him, and yet you don't obey him. And there's times that the Lord has answered your prayers and you said, Lord, out of thanks for you, I promise I will do this for you. And you don't do it. Maybe you fear God because, just like Peter, you have denied knowing him before others as well. And you hear that passage from Jesus when he says, whoever denies me before others, I will deny that person before my Father in heaven. And so you may have fear if Jesus will or will not acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. Maybe you fear God because last week it was Easter. We heard the message of Jesus' resurrection. We sang our alleluias. We were confident to say, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And now a week goes by and you stand here before God and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Nothing has changed about me. I am a weak, timid, and afraid disciple. And now when Jesus meets you, what will he say? Will he say, I no longer love you? Will he deny knowing you? Will he want nothing to do with you? Dear disciples of Jesus, have no fear. For what Jesus said to his 12 disciples, he says to you, peace be with you. Jesus knew that you are a sinner and therefore you wouldn't keep God's commandments perfectly. Jesus knew that you would make promises to him that you would not keep. Jesus knew that you would deny him before others. But that's exactly why Jesus came. He did not come to this world to condemn it, but he came to this world to save it. He came to obey God's commandments perfectly on your behalf, and he did it out of love for you. He came to fulfill God's promise of a Savior who would die for your sins. He came and rose to life so that he could forever acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. The risen Lord gives you peace from your fears. Your sins are forgiven. And now through you, God gives you the authority to forgive people of their sins in order to bring them peace from their fears. That is not the only way that our risen Lord brings peace. He also brings peace to his disciples who have doubt. For whatever reason, Thomas was not with the other disciples when Jesus appeared to them. So when Thomas came to the disciples told Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas did not believe. He doubted and he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Now, can we blame Thomas for doubting and not believing what the disciples told him? After all, we hear in this account that when Jesus appeared to the other disciples, he showed them his hands and his side. So Thomas was only asking for the same proof that the other disciples had. But Thomas is still the one to blame. Doubting in any sense is unbelief. It is not complete trust in God. Scripture says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We live by faith, not by sight. But Thomas wanted to live by sight and not by faith alone. And you can imagine that throughout the week, the disciples were trying to make Thomas believe what they were telling him, but he kept on doubting. But then the next week, Jesus once again appears to his disciples and he says, "Peace be with you." And what a comfort that is, that God's peace is not just a one-time thing, it is a continuous thing throughout our lives. But then Jesus turned to Thomas and he said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus gave the proof that Thomas demanded of, but you still see Jesus' rebuke to Thomas. He told Thomas, "Stop doubting what these disciples are telling you and simply believe." When Thomas heard this, he confessed, "My Lord and my God." The risen Lord brought peace to Thomas and his doubt. Now, what do you doubt about God? Maybe it's in the hospital room and the doctor says to you that your loved one has a 50-50 chance of either dying or living. Or maybe it's when you are lying in the hospital bed and the doctor tells you that you may not fully recover from this injury or accident that you went through. So you wrestle with God in prayer. But you can doubt if God is actually going to answer your prayer in the way that you want Him to. Maybe you doubt God because you lie awake at night and your mind is overflooded with worries. And you doubt if God can get you through them all. Maybe you doubt God as you struggle with a decision in life, whether it's, do I accept this job and move my family to a new place or not? Do I go with this treatment for my health or not? Do I pursue this career in my life or not? And so on. And therefore, you ask God, "Lord, just give me a sign. Give me some sort of proof of what I should do." And all you hear is apparently silence. And so you doubt God. And as I said earlier, doubt in any sense is unbelief. And so what Jesus said to Thomas, listen to Jesus again, stop doubting and believe. Even though Jesus is not going to physically appear before you to show you his hands and his side, look at your life. And you will see the fingerprints of God's hand working in your life. Think of the times that the Lord has answered your prayers in exactly the way you presented them to Him. How many times the Lord has gotten you through all those worries in life, and which means He will continue to be with you to get through any other problem. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And when you did make a decision in your life, the Lord greatly blessed you. The Lord was with you. Therefore, you have no reason to doubt God, but firmly believe in Him. For the risen Lord brings you peace to your doubts. And finally, the risen Lord brings peace to His believing disciples. At the very end of this account, John wrote, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." At first glance, this may seem like a random remark that John is making, but it actually fits perfectly with what Jesus said to Thomas. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus gives you praise that you believe in him even though you have not seen him. And how is it possible that you believe in him? It's because these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, The risen Lord gives us peace, for he gives us the gift of faith that firmly clings on to Jesus. So even though you haven't seen him, through the eyes of faith, you know him. Even though you haven't actually heard the very voice of God, you listen to him. Even though you have never met Jesus, you believe in him. And by believing in him, you have eternal life in his name. That's the peace the risen Lord gives to you. And that's the peace that he gives to all of his disciples. When Adam was afraid of what God would do to him, the Lord promised Adam a savior from his sins. When Moses had his doubts and did not believe that God could use him, the Lord still chose Moses and he greatly blessed him. When Mary Magdalene thought she had no more hope, the risen Lord appeared to her and simply said, "Mary." And at that hope, or at that moment, all of her hope was restored. And so for you, the risen Lord gives you peace from your fears, assuring you that you are forgiven. The Lord gives you peace to your doubts, for he has always been there and will always help you no matter what you're going through. The risen Lord gives you peace as you believe in him. For by believing in him, you have life in his name. That's the peace the risen Lord gives. And may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.